Over the next couple of days, we're going to look a little bit more closely at cyber war, computers fighting computers. An all-out cyber war could knock out a country's power, water, and telecommunications, all of which depend on computers. In fact, a cyber war could halt transportation, even paralyze the financial system, all of which raises a question. Should the laws of war apply to cyberspace? And if so, how? NPR's Tom Gjelten has been taking a look at this debate and joins us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Steve.
Let's talk about what the laws of war are. I mean, people hear about war crimes so much, it may surprise people to realize there are any rules.
There are rules. There's actually a whole body of international law we call the law of armed conflict. In general, it says when a country is justified in going to war, and second, it says how armies should fight, rules they should follow once a war is actually underway.
Okay, so when is a country entitled to wage war?
The main justification, Steve, is self-defense. The United Nations Charter says that if you are yourself the victim of a, quote, armed attack by another country, you can legally go to war against that country.
That's when you can send your bombers overhead, fire your missiles, send your armies. But now, when can you legally launch some kind of cyber attack against a country?
That's a little more complicated. Essentially, if a country launches the cyber equivalent of an armed attack against you, you should be able to respond with a comparable cyber attack against that country.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Ryan, a law professor at the U.S. military's National Defense University, says that if a country is going to go to war legally in response to a cyber attack, it has to be able to show that the cyber attack was tantamount to an act of war as defined by the U.N. Charter.
The problem is we don't know when or if a cyber attack could rise to the level of an armed attack.
Here's what we can say. For a cyber attack to be an act of war, it has to be a government operation. We're not talking here about some hacker or some rogue. It's one country deliberately going after another country's computer networks with the intent to disable or destroy them. Might actually be easier to say what's not cyber war. Michael Hayden, the former CIA director, says, for example, that it's not cyber spying, one country breaking into another country's computer system to steal information or plans.
We don't call that an attack. We don't call that cyber war. That's exploitation. That's espionage. States do that all the time.
And Steve Hayden's remarks on cyber war there were at a recent conference on hacking.
Okay, so we have an idea here when countries under the law of war can wage war. Once that war is underway, what do the rules say about how that war can be fought?
I'm going to really oversimplify here, Steve. Generally, international law says you have to fight in such a way as to minimize the damage to civilians. That's the overarching principle, and it would apply to cyber war. Military targets have to be distinguished from civilian targets with civilian computers off limits. Here's Daniel Ryan again of the National Defense University.
A direct attack on a civilian infrastructure that caused damage, even loss of life, of civilians would, I think, be a war crime.
Civilian infrastructure, Steve, would include the computer networks that control an air traffic control system, a water supply, things like that. But Harvard Law professor Jack Goldsmith says distinguishing civilian and military targets is not always so simple in the cyber domain.
You know, computers don't always have signs over them that say, I'm a military target, I'm a civilian target. And also the two things are intermixed. 90% to 95% of U.S. military and intelligence communications travel over private networks.
In fact, you could set out to hit a military target, but then hurt civilians in the process if your attack is disproportionate.
Collateral damage, basically, is what we're talking about here all of a sudden.
Yeah, and it's the proportionality rule. You don't level a city to destroy a single military unit. Now, in the cyber world, it means you couldn't plan a massive computer attack even on a military network without regard for the civilian computer networks that would be affected by that attack. It's hard enough to follow this proportionality rule in a conventional war. Jack Goldsmith says it's much harder in a cyber war because computer networks are so highly interlinked. Taking out one could set off an unpredictable chain reaction.
The U.S. government, when they're dropping a bomb, they have all sorts of computer algorithms and studies that they use to show exactly what the consequence is going to be from dropping this bomb at this angle on this building. Those kind of consequential analyses are much harder in cyberspace, and so it's hard to apply the proportionality test.
All because of the indirect effects that flow from a cyber attack. And Daniel Ryan says it's a real problem for cyber war planners who want to follow the rule of war.
since we can't predict what the unintended consequences of the use of cyber might be, that would say you can't attack at all in cyberspace. That can't possibly be the right answer.
Ryan teaches cyber law and the law of war to military and government officials. He thinks the right answer is that commanders should have to consider those effects of a cyber attack they're able to consider, but not those consequences that can't be anticipated. Michael Hayden, the former CIA director, talked about what cyber attacks should be illegal when he spoke at that recent conference on hacking. His top example, sneaking damaging software into an electrical grid.
Overall, finance is so dependent upon investor confidence that cyber penetration of any electrical grid, for whatever transient advantage it might create for the aggressor state, is so harmful to the international financial system that we should just all agree these are like chemical weapons. We're just not going to use them.
Tom Gelton, it sounds very impressive when Michael Hayden says that, but how do you enforce any laws, any restrictions that there might be in cyberspace?
Well, Steve, that's always a problem with the law of war. You know, even if governments could agree on what's illegal, it would not necessarily mean they would honor those agreements. There are skeptics out there. One of them is Stuart Baker, a former general counsel at the National Security Agency and an assistant secretary of Homeland Security under George W. Bush.
It is a near certainty that the United States will scrupulously obey whatever is written down, and it is almost as certain that no one else will.
If anything, it would be harder to enforce the law of war in the cyber world than in other domains of warfighting. The amount of anonymity in cyberspace means it can be almost impossible to determine where a computer attack originates and who's behind it. Then what do you do, says Stuart Baker?
Since we know that that's going to happen all the time and no one's going to get caught, to say that's a violation of the rules of war or the law of war is simply to make the law of war irrelevant.
Now, there are other ideas, Steve. Some governments are promoting the idea of a cyber disarmament accord, getting militaries to give up their cyber weapons voluntarily. But that approach could be even more problematic for reasons we'll get into tomorrow.
NPR's Tom Gelton here, and we'll look forward to your report tomorrow, Tom. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.